From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. So I like to bring on real-world entrepreneurs to share their story, to inspire you, to educate you, get you connected to the life of an entrepreneur. And I have some of my favorite people in the house tonight. I have Andrea Spacek and Heather Harmon. They are the newer owners of East Wind Yoga, a place that I go almost every day, pretty much every day. And so I see Heather occasionally as a student, and I see Andrea a lot as my mentor, I suppose, my silent mentor. You're an official mentor of mine, but I listen to all the words of wisdom associated with like mind, body, spirit, working up a good sweat. So why don't we start with you? Okay, welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit of your background, and then maybe just a brief story of how you and Heather got together to buy East Wind Yoga.
Yeah, there's not really any brief stories with me, but I'll try to make it brief.
Give Heather a chance to have some more time.
It's more like an odyssey.
Heather, interrupt her if she gets long-winded.
It's an odyssey.
We don't get out long-winded.
Yeah. So thank you. It's so wonderful to be here. It's wonderful when you have those mutually beneficial and symbiotic relationships. I feel like I look to you for so much wisdom and so much words of wisdom over the years and the last couple years. Being your teacher, I'm always the student to my students too, though. It's a two-way street, so I'm always learning from all of you. And so, my journey through yoga, it really started really through personal training and fitness. And it was me coming back into my body that it was really my mid-20s that had me realize, wow, I haven't really been here like fully. I haven't fully been owning my life. And that turned all sorts of it led to a lot of changes. I'll just say that in my life at the time. And then it was through that group that I was working out with a group of people, and they directed me to this. They said, you know, I had gone to some yoga classes over the years and in college, and it's not that I had never been going, but I wasn't really on that path so much. And they said, you know, you would be just a natural teacher, because I was already doing some personal training and doing some group fitness, and they knew I loved yoga. And so they said, there's a training coming up, and everything led to the next, stars aligned, and that began a deeper commitment for me and an instant love affair with the practice. And I knew from my first teacher training, I remember saying to my teacher, I just want to do teacher trainings forever. I love this space because it's exponential growth. It's opening your heart. It's opening your mind, and your life changes. So that planted a seed that lasted for, it's been about 16 years since that first training. And that was on the East Coast. Life pulled me out here. Another story. And
by the way, one of the things I love about you as much as anything is your laugh. Usually I'm not making you laugh, but I hear other people. I don't know if you're making yourself laugh or other people make laugh. But I hear you laughing. I'm trying to focus on, like when I get there early, I'm like, Andrea's in a great mood. Always, you always are. But you have this infectious laugh. So
yeah.
I congratulate. I don't know if that's. You know, that's just probably something you were born with. That's, you know, innate, I suppose.
Yeah, you either love it or you hate it, I say, because it's loud. It can get really loud. People can hear me all the way across the street
sometimes. I think people love it.
Yeah, so it is a trademark. And it's one of the things that I resonated with, particularly East Wind, about was this intense, powerful practice that I really resonated with that, but also a lightheartedness and a silliness that is like, don't take yourself too seriously, which is how I like to live. I believe in that because I can tend towards more serious very easily, especially when you're focusing and you're doing, you know, your yoga and meditating. It can get very more just straight faced. And I love breaking people out of that. It's like, it's just yoga, you know? And so I always resonated with the culture there. And when I moved to Auburn in 2012, it was right down the road. So I could just walk to the studio. And I remember the first class there, I was just blown away by I was like, do you understand what's going on in there? I said this to Ryan Bailey, who is the teacher of that class. And I said, I've been looking for this. Like, I had been going to many, many classes on the East Coast, but there wasn't anything quite like what I had experienced. And it was one of those days. He was having a day where he was just gazing out the window, like, what am I doing with my life? You know? And he said, you know, I really need to hear that. And so that was the beginning of my relationship with East Wind. I said, this is my place. And that was 2012. So it's been, you know, a little while. But I left and came back, and I taught at different studios, and it always brought me back. It always felt like home.
So what would you got this business partner, Heather.
Yeah.
How would you describe
thank
her?
God.
How would you describe her? And what attracted you to having to this match that you guys have created?
Yeah. So we were really brought together, and I'm going to let Heather tell that story.
Okay.
Because in a way she led that. I think in a big way she led that coming together, and she tells better stories than I do.
All right, Heather, you're up. No, Heather has went from high tech to no tech,
yeah.
Or I'll call it low tech. I actually have a yoga tech idea that I'll throw
please.
At you if there's time. So,
oh, yeah,
let's get your background.
Yeah. Oh, my background or the story, Mark?
Give me brief background. Brief background, then the story.
Brief background. Startup entrepreneur multiple times. Recently here in Sacramento, originated a startup here and sold that to a public company, and then took a little bit of time on a journey to figure out what I want to do next. So that's led through angel investing, venture capital advising, startup advising, and travel. Some really nice. Amazing travel has happened too. And yoga teacher training happened in that time too. That had been on my bucket list for a long time. So I finally had the space to do it. And I'm really glad that I did. And Andrea was the extraordinary teacher of that adventure. So yeah, that's a little bit of my background.
And then you saw opportunity. You're an entrepreneur, you're an investor, and you saw opportunity. What did you see?
You mean at East Wind?
Yes.
I didn't. I mean, I adore East Wind. And what I love about East Wind is not seeing it from the business perspective, which we could talk about. It's the community and how special it is. And so just like you said, and just like Andrea said, I've traveled all over the world and taken yoga in and out of dozens of studios, and there is not one that has what East Wind has. And we hear that over and over again from our students. We hear them come in the doors as regulars and say they've gone other places and come back. We've heard them come from around different places, drop in, and either leave it on Google or call us and tell us we've never experienced what East Wind has. That to me is what I'm so committed and passionate about. And from the perspective of how Andrea and I ended up in this journey together, it's that the previous owner that you know really well, and we do too, 19 years of curating this amazing community, he picked us. He said, if I'm going to do this, you are the ones that I trust
oh, wow.
to do it. So we both took that for a walk. But it wouldn't be completely transparent if we didn't tell you that before he came to us and told us that, we both felt ourselves being asked to do something together.
Mm.
And we didn't know what that was going to look like. So it was a few months later when the request was made. And it was a full body visceral yes. Like whether or not I should do this, whether or not this makes sense on paper, whether or not all the things, it was, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, interesting. I think I had talked to Andrea a few times about her wanting to do something, and I might have even mentioned buy out the yoga studio as an idea, because I remember you thinking, I want more in my life, one of our conversations, but you got it. You got more, which is really interesting. In terms of your experience with Eastwind and mine, it probably has a lot of similarities, except for one thing. I haven't really been to any other yoga studios. Mm. The only time I've been to a yoga studio was gone to Cabo, and they've got like yoga on the beach, and it is completely different. It's like kindergarten yoga. You guys are teaching, advanced stuff that is, and the people in there are, well, there's beginners, of course, but there's people that are phenomenal in terms of athletic ability and knowing what it's all about, with tons of experience. So it's a really nice community and a wide-ranging community, and so that's why I started. But the reason I started was, as I was talking earlier, CrossFit was closed because of COVID, and Eastwind was open. I'm like, people are in open sweating during this time when everybody's paranoid about health and stuff, and I was like, I'm going, and then people sweating all over me during COVID. We tried to keep 6 inches apart. But that's why I respected the owner, Scott, so much for having the courage to understand how healthy yoga is for all of us. I didn't really know at the time, but I know it now, that it really is good for you. Not just a good workout, but it's good for your mind, body, spirit. And it's so I'm indebted for sure to what's happened for me in Eastwind and better understanding stuff. I walked out of Scott asked me to give words of wisdom the other day. Scott's still teaching classes over there. I was like, I was wearing my Everything is Figure Outable shirt. I was wearing a shirt like this. And so he's like, Mark, I need words of wisdom. And he never calls on me for that stuff. But I had gone into the bathroom real quick and came in slightly late for class, which I never do. I'm usually an early guy for class, but the bathroom was filled up and I needed to make sure I didn't, old man doesn't have to, wet his pants during the class. And so I walk in like 30 seconds late, words of wisdom. And I said, everything is figure outable. So my question of both of you is, do you agree with that? Is everything figure outable?
100%. 100%.
Do you agree with that too, Heather?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like with enough imagination, enough inspired action, and enough stick-to-itiveness, things will come together. You'll stumble your way into achieving what you want, or accomplishing what you want, or seeing the vision that you want come true. So with that, you've started this. What's the vision for the studio? What do you see? Get me excited about where you're going. I love where we're at, but is there something different, brewing, imaginative? And I'll share with you my idea.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, I love ideas. I always say to students, this is really your studio. And so if you want to see something, advocate for it. If you want something to happen that's not happening, it's up to you guys, because we're servants. I look at myself as both kind of like a mother figure to the studio, to take care of it, to tend to it, to listen to what it needs, to provide that the best I can. And I'm in a relationship where it has its own life. It really does, especially coming into it after 19 years. So it has its own life. And it's like how... listening for that, are you ready for this next step? Are you ready for, the evolution that I might see? Because it's not about Andrea coming in or Heather coming in and forcing our will on it so much. So that's how I look at it. And the students, when they speak, I listen, and I don't always agree. I'm not going to take everything and I'm not a yes person all the time, which is something I've had to learn, stepping into this role is you can't make everybody happy. What you can do is take, what's going to serve the needs of the most versus just a couple people that are complaining about one thing and staying true to who we are and what's so magical about it. And so some of the vision is starting to happen. And that was when Heather and I came together initially before we even knew we were going to become the owners. It was about expanding the branches of this trunk, this really solid trunk that is the yoga of East Wind, into these different extensions that are different ways that people can take their yoga and take it further in a way. So going deeper into the power of your breath, for instance, and we've started to add in, we have tonight, we're both going to it as well, actually, holotropic breath work. Okay, so that's a modality that is its own thing, that is taking some of the Kapalabhati and different breath we do in there, but to a whole other level, 40 minutes of breathing in and out to clear and release long-held tension and trauma and pain. So that's one. We have somatic movement therapy. That's listening for, it's taking that felt sense experience that you can tap into in yoga, where we're kind of getting out of our head and more into what am I feeling and letting that guide you and allowing that its own kind of focus through somatic, they call it somatic movement therapy, somatic experiencing, there's lots of different names, but bringing in a practitioner who does that. And it looks like, ooh, like there's an emotion or a sensation here, and I'm just going to move with it. I'm going to breathe with it and see where it takes me and see if it, I can get to more of the root of what's going on there. Because everything that's going on in the body is a reflection of the mind, you know, mm-hmm. So we're getting more deeper into that journey. And then there's sound healing. So bringing in different practitioners. We both believe in the power of sound and the power to... So crystal bowls, gongs, things like that, where people come in and they, you know, they lie down and they receive this sound, which is these different frequencies that have just been scientifically proven to break up density and disease in the body in a way that accelerates just going to yoga every day. So it's helping also bringing other people in that might not be able to do a physical powerful practice, but they can experience the community we have here through these other modalities. And so that started to happen, and we seeded that through the 40-day sadhana, which is, sadhana is a Sanskrit word for a spiritual commitment, a practice that you do for 40 days that can lead to a powerful shift. And so that was really a wonderful, successful event that we put together. And we brought in these different practitioners who are now a part of our community. We look at them as like allied practitioners, mm-hmm. who are monthly, on a monthly basis, coming in.
Yeah, that's so helpful. And I have to compliment you too, as I think about the mind piece, because I agree with that. And, you know, we all have these voices. You do a really good job at the beginning of class. Scott, the other teachers do a great job too, but you specifically get us thinking about ourselves and who we are as we prepare to take our yoga practice to the mat for our workout. Basically, as we prepare for the workout, you get your mind right and you find a way to, I think, look inside our soul at some level, because you, I don't know, like we all have voices inside that are telling us, you know, give us confidence. And then we have others that are giving us doubt. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those start, like when we're kids, we got the little voice, we got the voice of our parents in our head, and now it's the media or whatever else is happening out there, our families. But you find a way to get us having the right thoughts going so that the right voices are helping you through your practice. Yeah.
And yeah, I love that. I love that you're experiencing that. And it's a lot of, there's so many wonderful benefits, like you mentioned, that come out of yoga, that it's hard to say it's this or it's that. But I believe one of the ways that Heather and I really align is it's about self-responsibility and taking ownership of and essentially your power back, that you're creating your reality, you're creating your experience. And yes, we have people come into our lives and we have stimulus, we have other things that challenge us. But to really see it for what it is, and it's not happening to us as a victim, but more for us so we can grow and so we can take that hero's journey. And so helping us to sort out, you could say, some of the, you know, the mind stuff. That's what yoga was initially designed for, was to clear the fluctuations of the mind so that you could see the truth of reality. Mm-hmm. And so all of this is really about that, because disease begins in the mind.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah. We veered off of the long-term vision that we talked about, what's happening, and which is a really, you made it very visual for us, but what about the vision? How do you, when you think about the vision for the organization, how do you wrestle with that, Heather?
I don't wrestle it at all. I'm in service to it. If I came to this with the commitment to serve the community that exists today and expand it. And so I think that's what Andrea and I are so aligned on, is that we know what Eastwind does, what it creates, and it's not necessarily something you can franchise. It's something really special that's curated through the diversity that is driving from every factor of the business itself, from our teachers to the types of classes that we teach and offer, to the fact that there's really no one way to do an Eastwind class except as a student to show up and be a part of the community. Like, that's the consistency that goes on over and over again. So when I think about the vision, it's expanding that, making that more available to more people to be in more service at an expansive way across our region. And, you know, we are considering a third location that's in the stars. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for, you know, the right time and place. We're also putting a lot of stabilizing factors underneath the business today so that it can sustain that growth. But that's, you know, like Andrea said, like bringing in all of these other ancillary pieces of the journey and making them offerings that are available to people that are comfortable and safe for them to experience themselves.
Well, I know Andrea much better than you, but I knew that you were in tech and had a lot of success. And so I started thinking about, I just thought this idea came up today for this business idea.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been deep in how bad the tech is for this business. Ooh, just in the last painful. Month. So it's super painful. Thinking,
so we're investing into companies. You're doing investing as well, but a lot of AI, artificial intelligence, where they're looking at video and basically dissecting it and giving feedback, right? So I'm picturing somebody with their yoga practice, video themselves, probably at home versus in the middle of the class, but going through and then having an AI agent that provides Eastwind quality feedback, right? Great feedback, the same kind of coaching that you might get, you know, one-on-one with an instructor, but you're actually getting it from a video. It's probably already being done. I haven't even looked at it yet, but that was my idea. That happened probably about 1 hour ago. That idea happened. What's your think? If you think it's already happening, that's probably a good idea.
Oh, all ideas are always happening, right? Yeah, I mean, every time I have an idea, I'm like, okay, assume 5 other people are already in flight on that, Heather. Yeah. You know, is it worth chasing? I think I have a background with professional golf. And so, you know, that was a swing analysis, right? Like you could get every element of your swing broken down and like reflected back to you and feedback and all of that.
Were you a professional golfer?
No, I was not. Oh. Yes. So I was just part of that world for a while. So but I could see yoga doing the same thing, you know, that you would get that feedback on alignment and all of the things that would go on. I think from a standpoint of studio yoga in a place like Eastwind, you know, it's like you pointed out, when I go to Cabo or vacation, yoga is not the same as Eastwind yoga. Mm-hmm. And you cannot recreate Eastwind yoga in an experience that isn't in the studio with the community and feeling the heart that's collectively beating through the group that's doing the practice together. You can't replace that with AI.
Yeah, so no, you can't. My buddy, you guys know Uriah Faber, I think, maybe. Do you know Uriah?
I don't.
He's a MMA superstar, California kid.
A
good buddy of mine. He invested into this wrestling robot. I can't think of the name of it right now, but basically selling robots to practice robots, right? So you can practice against somebody. So the technology is... you know, accelerating at such a rapid pace that yeah. I can picture people having a home yoga robot potentially.
Even. Right.
So instructor, yeah. right, type thing. Get your leg higher, marker, whatever it is, you know.
Definitely. And there's a place yeah. for that. And there's so many reasons why we come to practice in a studio. And but there's nothing, what we, I think a lot of us learned during COVID, there's nothing more medicinal than
right.
community. Like we literally co-regulate each other. We bring each other so much. There's so much, it's so much more than just accountability. It's just literally how we're wired is to be in community like that. And all the connections that happen, you know.
So I asked Scott. Scott was on the show. He's been on the show twice, the previous owner. Once we contrasted other kinds of fitness modalities, and that was kind of interesting. We had the studio audience. It was a lot of fun. But the first time I had him on the show, I asked him a question. I stumped him. So I'm going to ask you the same question, okay?
Okay.
Uh-oh. Who's your favorite teacher at Eastwind?
Who's my favorite teacher? Oof. It's tough. I just like them all for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Scott has been my favorite teacher for a while because he always challenges me at a different level. I love Rose's booty classes. I think she does an amazing job. Booty yoga, B-U-T-I.
Yeah. I took a class with her one time. And for those listening here, so I took a class with her. I think she substituted in a class. Somebody was on vacation or something. So she came in and taught her style in one of the normal classes. And I was blown away. Yeah, I could not keep up. It was definitely a workout.
It's humbling.
Yes, yeah. It's humbling. That's a good way to put it.
Because I like
because a lot people of getting into
different, different spiraling and different muscles. So she's always very creative in what she brings, and she has a lot of knowledge.
She makes it safe too.
And she makes it fun and safe. Yeah. But it's hard to pick. Really, everybody I love for a different reason.
All right, so how about
it's kind of like picking your favorite child.
It's dangerous. Pick your favorite child.
All right, describe one. Okay, so not your favorite necessarily, Heather, but describe to me one of the teachers that I guess you really appreciate in terms of the way that they teach you.
I think what I love about each of the teachers is how they bring their own presence to the class, and they ask you to show up to yourself. Mm-hmm. And they all do that in their own unique way. And I mean, to me, that's the gift of Eastwind, is that they are empowered to do that. So that as a student, when you come to the class, you're always meeting yourself in a new way. Mm-hmm. And I love that they have the courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage for all of them to do what they come in and do. Yeah. So it's such a gift.
It does take courage. And if anybody's listening, maybe that hasn't really been to yoga, some of it's like public speaking. So you get somebody who is not a public speaker, but they're good at yoga. And they want to go through teacher training. And you come out, and it's almost like you have to be an inspirational speaker at some level so that you can connect with the audience or connect with the students in a way that gets them to respect you and, you know, connect with themselves, like you said. And that's, you know, especially when you take somebody, let's say they're a 22-year-old person. I'm thinking someone like Raquel. She's one that I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. I don't go to her class regularly, but I remember, I think I was in her first class after teacher training. And she was like a seasoned pro. And I'm like, you're just a kid.
She's a rock star.
I don't know how old she is, but she's young. And but yet she found a way to be great. And it was impressive. So that, I guess that speaks to the way that you teach, your yoga teaching. And you have a lot of people going through the yoga teaching, I believe, that don't necessarily teach at Eastwind. Is that 100%. Correct?
They may not teach anywhere ever.
Okay.
They do it for their personal journey.
Okay, talk to me about that. Why go through the teacher training? What in the personal journey, in the teacher training, do you get besides learn how to teach?
Do you want to talk to it first?
Have you been through teacher training?
I have.
Okay,
Have you taught classes? I did not intend to teach.
Okay, so have you taught classes?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I taught a yoga class.
I mean, I have taught.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
I have taught a yoga class, not at East Wind, you know, so I'm not, and it wasn't my intention when I did the teacher training. I wanted to deepen my own practice. So to really understand at the elemental level, each one of those micro pieces of putting it all together. And then there's an element that is woven through the entire teacher training where it's bigger than the physical process. Yoga is so holistic. And so when you really go into the teacher training, you're having an entire journey with yourself through that process that's unfolding this new relationship with you, your practice, and the world around you.
Interesting, because, okay, so I'll tell you my training, and I found myself thinking about how my experience at East Wind. So I leave the house every morning at 0:30. I think I leave at 5:20 every morning during the week, and it's different on the weekends. But and I'm on my way to yoga, and I think my whole family knows that. And we live on a family compound, so everybody knows Bapa's going to yoga and all that. So they asked me to do like a class, and none of the grandkids came, but my wife, my daughter-in-law, and my son, they wanted me to teach a yoga class. I'm like, oh, I never been to teacher training. And so what do I do? But I found myself not being what a yoga teacher at East Wind is in terms of helping them connect with themselves like that. I walk them through the exercises, if you will, the physical part of it. But I think they appreciate it, but because one of them bought a yoga mat. So it's something that I think you just got to break in your own way. Because I think I've told you this before, Andrea, when I started, I was just there to replace CrossFit. I was like, I just want to work out. And it was hard. But since then, I've learned it's a lot more.
Yeah. So. Well, you have to be willing to go out of your comfort zone, out on a limb for people, and risk sometimes pissing people off. Mm-hmm. You know, like asking people to speak in front of class. Some people don't come back because of that, but most people, that's the 100% reason they stay.
Right.
So Scott has always been really inspirational for me in understanding that, like, you have to be willing to take risks with the students and stand for them and stand for what's possible for them, even if they're not, they might push back and be like, get out of my face. I don't want to do that. But
yeah, that's interesting. I think it's one of the things that I've seen. I'm more of a observer than, don't try to be vocal at yoga, because some people are in their own zone and don't want to chit chat or whatever before yoga. But I live by this motto, be ready, don't get ready. So I get there early and don't necessarily chit chat or talk to people unless something's, a subject comes up from somebody else typically, because I don't want to bother anybody. But I know then people walk in. What I love about East Wind is that you could be very social, and those people are really well received, and a lot of chit chat. Sometimes the class is loud before class. Sometimes it's really quiet. But even if somebody walks in a couple of minutes late, you accept them. There's no penalties. There's no judgment in terms of who's good, who's late. It's very much accepting of where you're at today in your life and your body. I love that about East Wind.
There is a little penalty.
Is there?
Words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom.
Yes. I experienced it, and I wasn't even really late. Somebody went in the bathroom for like 30 minutes before class, and so I snuck
excuses.
In.
Excuses.
Yeah, I don't make excuses. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, it is, even to this day, I still... I'm constantly checking that edge for myself and checking that edge as far as how much I'm leaning in. How much am I willing to lean in for somebody's excellence and to call out their greatness? And because the truth is, even if they push back, we all want that. Mm-hmm. We all want to be seen. We want to be acknowledged. And we also want to be called out. What are you doing over there just hanging out?
Yeah.
Because we want to grow. Mm-hmm. I think that's just our innate way we're wired.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who's your favorite student?
Obviously you.
Okay. Who's your second favorite student? No, but there's people that have made real progress. Is there an example of, let's say, a success story where, wow, look, where this person's inspired me?
Mm. Oh, God, there's I feel like there's so many. There is someone I think about. I think about Patrick Nell, who comes to the studio.
We have the exact same birthday.
Do you?
Yeah, you noticed one time.
Oh,
you
that's
said,
right.
Happy birthday,
that's
Mark. Right. It was like, I think I was turning 60.
I forgot about that.
You're like, it's your birthday, everybody. And I'm
so
like,
they're my two favorites.
And Patrick,
yeah, same birthday.
Patrick's like, it's my birthday too. We were born on the exact, not just the same, we're exact same age. I mean, he's the same age as me too. Yeah.
So I saw him go through a massive year long shift in his practice. He stands out to me as came in pretty stiff and kind of.
And the Patricks are, I'll describe this guy to you from, I don't know him very well. He's plays like fantasy football and all. I'm in the pool with him and he knows football pretty well. But he's kind of a man's man type guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's probably 6 foot, 200 pounds type thing. And he's a dude, right? He's a, owns his own business, I think, and he shows up regularly with his wife, and I got to get my wife in there.
Yeah, I love the couples, and I love how many the male to female ratio is pretty strong. I think in our community that sometimes it's dominated by women, or it's at least perceived as a woman's world in yoga, but not. I don't in Eastman. A lot of times my classes are about. Balanced with
why do people join? Okay, so I know I told you why I joined, but from your talking to other people and maybe even asking people, what are you doing here on their first day? Why are people joining? Like, what's the draw? Because I remember I went to a yoga class early on the first year, and the instructor, I can't remember her name, she said she joined yoga because she wanted to have a better body. And I was like, oh, okay. I wanted to have a yoga butt. She said, I wanted to have a yoga butt. Okay. So why do people join? Well, it seems like a good reason. Yoga butt's not a bad thing.
Well, I think there's the belonging to, we all.
You think people join for the belonging?
Want to belong. I don't think that's why they, I think subconsciously there's a resonance and like why they would pick Eastman over another studio.
Yeah.
Why they would join yoga more basically. Realizing that consistency is really where you're going to make any kind of change. If you go once a week, you're not going to see that big of a difference. So becoming a member, having unlimited classes, sometimes people come twice a day. And, you know, it's like before the workday, after the workday, and they realize, wow, I miss this when I'm not doing it. And so it's really offering something for my life. So I think that's the main reason.
Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I think it can be just health, you know. Yeah. It lowers your blood pressure, it detoxifies you, it calms your nervous system, it gives you stress reduction. For people who are battling anxiety, it can help you sleep better. It helps you focus better. It gives you a mental edge. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you're on the mat and you go off the mat, you go into work and you're just clearer, sharper, ready to go. And if you're ending your day with yoga, you tend to eat better. You tend to not want to do those bingey things you might do at night. You go to bed earlier.
Replace Netflix with yoga.
Right? Yeah. I think there are all these benefits of it, like just checking all the boxes. And we have a lot of people who come in. We have a $30, 30-day unlimited yoga intro offer. And so we get like, I don't know, 100 people through the door every month doing that. And why do they come? Because a lot of them are out there doing that with other studios too, but they settle on Eastwind because it's different. It's because the experience of a community is different, and all of the caliber of classes they can attend are really different. There's variations. It's not the same thing every time you come. You want the same thing every time you come. There's places for that. That's not Eastwind. Mm-hmm. Eastwind's diversity. Diversity across the teachers, diversity in the classroom, among the students who are practicing next to each other. And you see all types of levels of yoga happening around you in the room. Like people like you, Mark, that are intense and sitting at the advanced level in poses, all the way down to people who are choosing child's pose because they don't want to push that edge today. And that's all acceptable. And it's just such an accepting, welcoming environment to challenge yourself.
It is. The one thing I have heard a few times, and I wonder how often this comes up, I've seen people come in. I haven't noticed it in a guy yet, but sometimes I'm around when a new student first timer comes in and goes, oh, this is hot yoga. And I've heard them express that to Scott, and they're afraid. There's a fear factor associated with, I don't like hot.
The heat.
I don't like heat.
Yeah.
And what's is, I can see that the, for some people, it's just not for them. But then other people probably could get accustomed to appreciating what it does.
Yeah, we've totally seen people come in intimidated or scared of the heat and adapt and learn to love it, for sure.
You get addicted to it.
You get addicted to it.
There's such a release. There's such a release through the sweat that's happening that I think you miss it when it's not.
Yeah.
And so, there's so many benefits to the heat. I mean, there's the challenging your cardio, even when you're not doing a cardio exercise, you know. It's definitely detoxing, we know. It's this, you know, like rinse for the organs that's happening, you know. It's like clearing a lot out of the blood. Now you have to be careful about replacing, because you're also sweating out minerals. And so, you know, there's definitely periodically we'll, especially in the summer challenge time, we will talk about that more. And it's like, you got to replace those minerals in your body. You got to do the electrolytes.
The summer challenge. Mm-hmm. Now, I have never done it, but I do CrossFit.
Yeah. Maybe
so
this
other
year.
Maybe. It's time consuming. I've got to replace my Michelob Ultra, I guess, with the nighttime class. But it makes me think that... I'm going to describe that, what that is. So it's where you take two classes per day. These are intense type of, they can be intense type of workouts depending on how you approach it. But that's a lot for a lot of people. But you get a large group of people building this community of people that are going through it together. You're going through this very difficult challenge of doing two yoga classes a day over like an 80-day period a lot of times.
So it's 90 days from June 1st to September 1st. And in that amount of time, the challenge is that you need to do 80 classes and 20 of those need to be doubles.
Mm. Okay.
So it's almost every day that you're there. People travel, people, you know, so they have to work it out. And the powerful part is they have to choose themselves over other things that are going on, over their, you know, what other people are doing, want them to be doing. And it's saying, I'm so committed to this that I'm making this a priority.
I see all the school teachers are all doing that. Cause they're
get a lot of school teachers that love that.
But no, I think it's great. And I love the, still kind of going back to the approach of, hey, if you end up doing... okay, you don't complete the challenge necessarily. Mm-hmm. You're still a hero because you attempted, and
100%.
You know, maybe next year you do it again and, you know, advance a little further and that type of thing.
Yeah, I signed up this year. I didn't finish it, and I will likely do that again because I like a challenge. Mm. Also, because and in that time, I did a lot more yoga than I would have done, and I saw immediate benefits in my life. I had all this creative energy open up for myself. I had all these ideas come in and my life started flowing better. So just from, you know, adding in, I don't know how many, at least four classes a week. So it's, the work works if you do it. I mean, I think that's the news. It's like, there is something to it. There's a lot to it. And there's so many different levels of commitment. We let them all be okay. If you're going to come once a month, if you're going to come once, twice a day, there's room for you here. And just let yourself be inspired by what's possible.
I have three more questions. So one is, let's talk about life balance, because I think when we start a new business or something like that, something where you tackle something big, your life can get out of balance in those kind of situations. And maybe it's good that you get out of balance, because that's how winning is hard, especially when you're starting things. But how do you, Andrea, you have a couple little kids. How do you keep it all balance, you know, working mom with an entrepreneurial job?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound easy.
So I had a kind of a double whammy where I was going through a divorce at the same time that I took ownership of the studio with Heather. So it was a lot. Last year was very challenging. So much growth, so many things for the first time, learning how to live on my own and have the kids. I 50-50, but on my own. was a lot. And I did many times get out of balance necessarily. I kind of accepted I was going to be for a short period mm-hmm. of time. And you can do anything for a short period of time if you know it's going to end, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a recalibration continually. But one thing I did for myself in the beginning is I said, I'm going to take one day a week as a self-care day. One day. And I would go to the hot springs, or I would go get a massage, or I would do something that was just really for me to decompress. And I found that worked really well. And then I let it slide and I got away from it. And just recently I brought that back. And so finding strategies to also consolidate, I'm going to respond to all of these emails on Thursday versus mm-hmm. right now. I was always like a now person. And so I'm a recovering now person. I'm not fully there yet, but that immediately you're having to respond to everything that's coming at you, it just doesn't work anymore for everything that's coming at me. Yeah. So
Heather, how's your life balance? And maybe just some advice for entrepreneurs, since you've walked in those shoes. You're in this case, you're more of an investor, is what I can tell. But so I assume how's your life balance? And then any advice? How's your life balance currently? And then any advice to entrepreneurs for discovering life balance or finding a way to get there?
Yeah, I have an unpublished TED talk called Fuck Balance. I don't believe in balance. I think that if we're really going at life, we can't control all the variables all the time, and they're always coming. And so if we get into this rhythm of I've got balance, it's like we're just always a hairpin away from being pulled down. So the way I operate in life is I've got all these things I've got to do. I have a million tabs open, and I'm really present with the tab I have open. I'm really, really present. I prioritize ruthlessly. So I have to think about, is this a P0? Is this the thing that has to be done right now? Or is this something that can wait? And I think about time allocation. And like, depending on how fast my life is moving, I'm calibrating time to the seconds or the minutes or the days. You know, it's like sometimes life is just so accelerated that I have to think about what every single second, like how many seconds can I give that thing and in what order of operations. As soon as I surrender that need for balance, I'm liberated. I am at peace because I'm in full acceptance of the chaos my life is in, right?
Yeah. And that's like my daughter.
So important. I have to live in that space. Yeah, I know some people need the illusion of balance. I think it's an illusion. I don't think we ever have balance. I think we're always in this constant state of flux, making trade-offs. We have to make trade-offs all the time. And if we don't do that from a place of surrender, from a place of acceptance, then we're constantly in inner conflict and trying to like make things add up, do the accounting in such a way where there's, you know, the P&L adds up. Like, it's just not going to. It's not going to. There's never enough minutes in the day, at least in my life, to accomplish all the things that I wish I got done in the day. So I have to accept that this is how I'm calibrating. This is how I'm prioritizing. These are the things I got done. Forgive myself for the things I didn't get done. Reassign. And I live in that space at peace. I didn't always live there. When I tried to achieve balance, it was just this constant state of disappointment in myself. Like, I was not getting there. So, I mean, that is my advice to entrepreneurs, is embrace the lack of balance and be willing to surrender to that space.
I have a different philosophy, although I agree with what you have. I have a different philosophy for myself, and that is cut all the things out of your life that aren't as productive and get somebody else to do them or don't do them. My wife says I'm the laziest man in America because I really don't do anything that I don't want to do. Scott's never said that, but I know he thinks it. This dude is so freaking lazy. I can't believe it. Well, other people think I'm hardworking because I go to CrossFit, yoga, and all that stuff. But in reality, I only do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm a good enough sales guy to get people to help me do the stuff that I don't feel like doing. So it helps. Be a good salesperson.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. And that's prioritization too, Mark, right? Like, you're prioritizing even as you're delegating.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to hit you up for a future to hear your TED talk, either on the show or come speak to a group of entrepreneurs. Okay. Because that I love the concept because, you know, I'm not really in the I'm starting a business mode right now in my life. That's not the, I guess, the the season I'm in at the moment, but a lot of people are that I am around, and they're the most ambitious people in the world, and they have to get okay with being ambitious. They got to get okay with themselves and be enough sales, a good enough salesperson to get their spouse and their family to back them, the people they care about, to back them with this journey, if it happens to be entrepreneurship. But I think when you're trying to do anything great in your life, you've got to get out of balance. So I agree 100%. Yeah. But I'd love to hear your TED talk.
I've been asked to give it many times. I haven't gone to that point yet. But if we bring it back to yoga, it's the same. You roll out your mat, you push yourself to your edge, you're going to get wobbly. You're going to fall over. Things are not going to be in balance if you're really pushing at your edge.
Yeah.
And I think that's why yoga saves me in my entrepreneurial journey, is because I can go to my mat and I can take myself to my limit and I can fall over and it's okay because I can get back up again.
Yeah. And isn't that where the growth happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, you can't do anything without taking that risk, right? You have to be willing to fly to the sun and let your wax wings get burned if you're going to take a risk, like if you're going to do the thing.
Okay. Okay. So two more questions.
Okay.
One, you both travel. You mentioned earlier that you travel, and I did not know that, but Andrea, you're gone now and then on these trips. Is that part of your personal growth, or is that just for fun? Because you always come back, when you 100%. Come back from a trip, you're coming back, you know, you're always inspired, but you're coming back with more creative ideas and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's part of how I'm wired. I know that I need a certain amount of travel and exposure to different parts of the world and experiences to stay inspired in the day-to-day, you know, showing up. And I also feel called to different places by spirit. I feel that I'm actually answering a call to, you need to show up here because there's something going on in this part of the grid, I would call it, that needs your energy. And so that is something I've known for a while is going to be part of my journey, is going to these places, also leading retreats there, bringing people there. And I did do some big trips this year. Heather and was on one of them in Egypt. And then I shortly after went to Peru. I'm actually headed to Costa Rica on Monday. And that's with my kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what's going to happen. I just know that I'm supposed to be there. And so it's part of a commitment of showing up to that. And also, I know that it's for our community too, bringing that energy back and weaving it into what we're doing, because we see the reach of Eastwind global. We don't know exactly how that happens yet, but in a way, us going out into the world, me leading retreats, Heather participating in different, you know, putting together her own retreats and things going on, that is part of seeding that energy around the world and bringing it home. And so I'm excited to see what's going to come out of that, because I don't know, but I know it's going to be amazing. And
I'm called to travel by my wife.
Said,
Mark, she's like, anywhere, anytime. She will go anywhere. If I even hint at a possible vacation, there's flights. And I'm like, we just got back from New Zealand and Australia the other day. And nice. I end up, once you do, like, I like my routines, and I like, Cabo is like part of a routine because it's easy. It's a quick flight. And we got a place there. So we go down there and I know everybody. But going to these new areas and getting this spiritual growth, I'm not like called on that other than my wife telling me to do that. But every time I do it, whether we go to Africa, anywhere, I've been all over the world. And you know, I always come back appreciate. I miss my routines, but I always feel better that I've learned something and spent some time with my wife.
That's why your backyard productions, because you're a backyard guy. And some of us are meant to be ambassadors and to move out. And some of us are supposed to just stay put. And I look at, you know, what we're doing at Eastwind and the community we're creating, and I look at it as a microcosm of the globe. And what we do together is what I want to see in the world. And so that there's some kind of mirror that happens when I go out, and I can't fully put into words that might land right now, but that it's, you know, it's the same thing. And so I get inspired to bring back from other cultures some of the simplicity. Like in Peru, there's so much connection to the land and to their lineages and their families, this multi-generational living, and that there's these, they really distilled practice. Well, it's not even a practice, it's a way of being. Mm-hmm. It's just really from the heart. It's like living from your heart. And to bring that back, mm-hmm. and even if I'm not directly talking about Peru, it's coming through me. You know, that's what is happening.
You're so much more wise than I am. I have this attitude of build from the inside out, right? So if I can get me right, get out of my own way, that's good. And then get my family right, get my community, my town right, that type of thing. I'm like, I don't think about going other places to get it, to bring it back. I'm more into tradition and that kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting to know people that just see the glow, you know, see such a big picture in a different way. Yeah. Okay, so now, Heather, it's your turn. Why do you like to travel? You've been traveling, I hear. So talk to me about what travel does for you and how that, I guess, inspires you or the growth associated with that.
I think it's same as what Andre was saying for me too, that the travel is a way to connect and to bring back what I learned from other cultures and the embedding in those spaces and places and ways of being, and always learning. And I think if we think about the planet in kind of a biological way, it's a biome, and there's different microorganisms that are coming from all these different places on the planet. And when we go and culture ourselves in those different environments, we're literally replenishing our own biome with all of these different ways of being. And we resonate in that, and we bring it back into where we are, and we pollinate that into the environment that we're in. It's not so direct. It's not so, I have to say the words for that to be true. It's just a beingness and that integration.
So deep. I agree with what you're saying, but it's like,
we're deep.
When I also like bringing these whole things together. I have this whole technology world, and then I have this travel world and this yoga world and all these things. And so I get to take a group to the Camino to walk in Spain in May of this year.
Well, my wife's going on, she's not going, she's dragging her mother, my mother-in-law. But when are you going?
So our trip is the third week of May.
Okay, I think she's back.
We're doing, I have a group of people from PropTech that are meeting up, and fly into Madrid, and then we'll get over and onto the Camino. And
how far are you going to walk?
We're doing 100 kilometers, so it's the So it's cool. It's a way to just see the integration across, like, hey, unplug from your super busy, crazy entrepreneurial life to this experience where mostly it's unplugged to be on the Camino. There's connectivity in the evenings when we're off the walk. But so I'm excited about that too.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, so last question. I'll throw it to both of you.
Okay.
And you probably have different answers. What did I not ask you that I should have asked you on the show today?
Oh.
I love the talk about leadership and what it means to, you know, be a leader. That was something that we talked about talking about.
I didn't read my show notes.
Scott, and it's all good.
I mean, scanned it before the show.
For another time. Because I love the, there's so much there, and that's part of why I love teacher trainings, because it's really about becoming, stepping into the realm of a leader. Mm. We all are leading our lives, right? But to really own it, and when you take it to a community,
what makes a great leader?
Another level. I think self-responsibility, like what we're talking about.
Lead yourself.
Lead yourself. Lead from a place of deep trust and knowing, and also have an amazing council of people around you. Because none of us walks alone. We all, you know, we don't have to carry it all. So have wonderful people to support you and to bounce things off of. But in the end, it's you and God. It's you and spirit that need to make decisions. And
what kind of leader are you?
I think I'm a very heart-led leader. I lead with my heart. And I also, I've learned so much this year about taking more time with decisions, not to respond right away, to take time with myself and out of the initial reactions that I want to sometimes no, or yeah, when it's really strong, I've learned, let's take a little time with that.
You strike me as somebody that's not transactional in their leadership. So you're building, you're playing for the long run in the way you develop relationships.
Definitely.
Versus trying to cut a deal.
And everything, I look at it as everything's figure outable. So if we lead with that, then we're not so ready to just cancel people out that things aren't going well. It's like, oh, you need to go. And that is something that I'm so proud of, is how, you know, taking ownership and being a previous employee to Scott, and also he was a mentor at some point to me. That's a tough transition with him still being there. And we've had a lot of
fun telling him
challenges.
What to do?
No, I mean, it's sometimes, yeah, it is a little fun. Not that he listens to me all the time, but it's nice when he does. No, but so
he's got a great attitude about it, though.
He does. You know,
he's, and maybe it's from my perspective.
Yeah, it's been a lot. We've been through a lot of little, you know, kerfuffles, you could call them.
Yeah, well, you guys have made some changes, and you know, he's and
yeah,
it's been,
he's
but
not
going to
agree with everything.
Right, he might see it and go, well,
he's like,
I don't know
about these.
Done that, but
yeah,
you know what? I have a really positive attitude about it.
Yeah, and I love the way that, and even, you know, Heather and I, when things get intense, they get intense, and they're going to bring up, but what I bring to everything I do is the self-awareness that even in the moment, if I'm mad at somebody, this is really about me. This is really about, they're bringing up something within myself that I need to face and deal with, because I don't blame other people for my experience, essentially, which is what I'm asking the students to do. And so I think to be a good leader, it's walking the talk mm-hmm. that you're talking and taking it to the level of, wow, you know, I can't blame anybody for how things go. So I got some work to do, right?
Heather, you've obviously had a history of successful leadership. Thoughts on leadership?
I think people first. Mm-hmm. We used to say at Red Door, Allie and I would say people, product, profit. And people were first our people, second our users, our customers. And then the product itself, the thing that we're delivering, a lot of times we reverse that. We operate from product profit and then people, or we even operate from profit first. And I can't do that in a business as a leader. It's people first. I can't do anything that I'm aiming to do or accomplish without the people who are doing it with me. I am incapable by myself of achieving things. Greatness comes because of the alignment of the people who do it with me.
Okay, give me, besides you, who's the best, who comes to mind in terms of that is an inspirational, an inspiration as a leader? Who, is there someone famous that, or maybe that we, that the general public might know of, or maybe even somebody in your personal life that's like, that person is somebody I respect as a leader?
Yeah, I think, I just came off of a big leadership week at Harvard, and one of the cases we studied was Pete Carroll, and he would
Seattle Seahawks guy?
Exactly, yeah.
He chews the heck out of that gum, doesn't he?
I mean,
you guys probably don't watch that much football.
I see, yeah, he does.
Scott's over here going, he goes through a bunch of gum during the course of a game.
But he is a human, he's a humanistic leader. And he's an inspirational leader, and he takes each one of his players and he invests in them as a person, not you are on this team and we are doing this thing. He's holistic in every single one of his relationships with the people on the team. And I think there's all kinds of ways to get there, right? You can get the job done on the field all kinds of ways as a coach. I personally am really inspired by how Pete Carroll does it.
I love it. Okay, so what did I not ask you?
I don't know. I feel like you asked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. I did my job.
Yeah.
Check the box.
Check.
Great show. You guys are phenomenal. Thank you for what you do for Eastwind and the community and me as a part of that community. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing what I think is very educational and inspiring stuff. But I also think you're a great example of what's possible for, you know, entrepreneurship looks different. You know, we've seen so many entrepreneurs come across our show, across our view, and you guys are doing something special. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having us today. A joy.
You bet.
Yeah.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.